This book is not about convincing people to be better. You've been trying that for 6,000 years and it hasn't worked once. This is about building a system where doing well and doing good are the same thing. The current system pays for death and disease. The new system pays for life and health. You can align major interest groups behind a single goal, curing disease, not through charity, not through guilt, through pure profit. Moral appeals are for species that respond to moral appeals. Yours responds to money. Defense contractors, teaching merchants of death to love life. Military lobbyists spend $127 million on lobbying. They get $181 billion in government contracts back. That's roughly $1,425 returned per dollar invested. Better returns than any hedge fund in history, and all you have to do is help kill strangers. They will oppose any treaty that threatens this, not because they're evil, though that helps, but because murder is profitable and they like money. Lobbyists are like pigeons. They go where the food is. Currently, the food is in opposing the treaty. You could try convincing them that saving lives is noble, or you could just move the food. It's like convincing a vampire to open a blood bank. Counterintuitive, but mathematically sound. The offer. Victory incentive alignment bonds, paying 272% annually versus their current salary or stock options. Early access, get rich before everyone else. Consulting fees, legal bribery has a name. Strategic advisor positions, fake job, real money. The math, their current job, lobbying against the treaty. Pay, $500,000 to $2 million per year. Job security, depends on military budget staying huge. Legacy, made orphans for money. Your offer, lobbying for the treaty. Pay, $5 million to $20 million in bonds. Returns, 272% annually, for as long as the treaty holds, which is forever, unless humanity decides it prefers dying again. Legacy? Accidentally saved humanity while getting rich. Most people can do this math, you hope. Why they take it? 272% is greater than whatever they're making now. That's it. That's the whole reason. The treaty doesn't actually hurt them. Military budget drops 1% from $2.72 trillion to $2.69 trillion. They still have 99% to protect. Defense contracts still flow. Jobs stay. Wars probably still happen. 1% less budget doesn't mean 1% fewer wars. That's not how wars work. But it's also not the point. You're asking them to accept slightly less murder funding in exchange for becoming extremely wealthy. I support life-saving medical research sounds better at dinner parties than I lobby for bombs. Their kids might even respect them. Probably not, but maybe. Add 10% victory bonds to a pension portfolio and blended returns jump from 10% to something that looks like a typo on a spreadsheet. It's the kind of number that should make you suspicious. Be suspicious. Then check the math. Once Lockheed buys bonds, Raytheon has to follow, or explain to shareholders why Lockheed's portfolio is outperforming theirs. Start with pension funds. Fiduciary duty requires best returns. They end up lobbying for the treaty to protect their investment. The flip. Once enough key players flip, momentum shifts. Nobody wants to be the last holdout, not while a treaty gains momentum and everyone else gets rich. It's like a bank run, except instead of withdrawing money, they're depositing principals. Whether enough is 10 or 50 or 100, nobody knows. This has never been tried before. On Earth. I've seen it work elsewhere, though admittedly not every time. But the theory seems sound, assuming humans behave like humans usually do. Now they don't just stop opposing, they actively lobby for it, testifying to Congress that this strengthens national security. Technically true, healthy soldiers fight better. Writing op-eds about how a strong military requires a healthy population. Also true, can't draft corpses. And convincing other lobbyists to flip. What you're not asking. You're not asking them to close factories, lay off workers, stop making weapons, convert to medical equipment, change their business model, or feel bad about anything. You're only asking them to accept higher returns on investment, stop blocking the treaty, and maybe say nice things about it publicly. That's it. They keep 99% of their current income, plus get rich from bonds. Why this works? It's all legal. Victory incentive alignment bonds are legal investment vehicles. Lobbying is protected free speech. Consulting fees are standard practice. Strategic advisor positions are completely normal, if normal means legal corruption. They designed the system to allow this. You're just using it correctly for the first time. Defense contractor CEO to board. We diversified into bonds paying 272% returns versus the market's 10%. If the treaty passes, we profit enormously. If it fails, we still have our defense contracts. It's a hedge. I'm being prudent. You're welcome. Budget. Strategic allocation from the $1 billion incentive alignment budget. The timeline. Optimistic, if this works, key lobbyists flip in months 1 to 12. Defense contractor associations go neutral by month 18. By month 25, former opponents take credit. I always cared about medical research. They discovered this yesterday. Pessimistic, if this doesn't work, you and everyone you've ever loved slowly deteriorate into dust. You can't fight the military-industrial complex. It's too big, too entrenched, too profitable. But you might be able to buy it. Insurance companies, the accidentally aligned industry. Insurance companies are theoretically on your side. They've had this exact incentive for 150 years and haven't done anything about it because nobody at an insurance company has ever had an original thought. But every disease you cure is billions they don't have to pay out, and eventually, even they should notice. Their current death spiral. Medical costs are rising 7% annually. Premiums can't keep pace, regulation. Claims are destroying margins. Chronic disease equals lifetime payouts. Their business model is dying. Your salvation offer. The math they can't refuse. Diabetes currently costs $327 billion annually, but a one-time cure would result in about 90% ongoing savings. Alzheimer's costs $355 billion annually, but a one-time cure would result in about 90% ongoing savings. Heart disease costs $363 billion annually, but a one-time cure would result in about 90% ongoing savings. Cancer costs $208 billion annually, but a one-time cure would result in about 90% ongoing savings. Even partial cures dramatically improve their margins. They don't need $0 costs. They just need costs to stop rising 7% annually, which is currently the speed at which their business model is committing suicide. The implementation. They buy victory incentive alignment bonds, 272% returns. They lobby for the treaty, protects investment. Cures reduce their claims, profits increase. They lower premiums, competitive advantage. Healthier population equals a permanent profit increase. Why they're your natural allies? Insurance companies are the only industry that profits from human health. Every other healthcare player profits from sickness. This raises the question of why insurers haven't cured everything already. See above regarding original thoughts. Use this natural alignment. Pharma wants chronic patients, while insurance wants cures. Hospitals want full beds, while insurance wants empty ones. Doctors want repeat visits, while insurance wants one-time fixes. Pharmaceutical companies, converting drug dealers to drug curers. Pharma companies aren't evil, they're just doing what any rational organism does when you pay it to keep people sick. Keeping people sick. They're trapped in a business model that rewards treating symptoms forever instead of curing diseases once. Here's how you free them from their golden cage. R&D costs $2.6 billion per drug. Unsustainable. Success rate? 10%. Lottery odds. Timeline? 17 years to market. Patients die waiting. Revenue per success? $6.7 billion. Return on investment, or ROI, is 1.2%, measured as the internal rate of return, or IRR, on late-stage pipeline assets, Deloitte's 2022 historic low for top 20 pharma. It bounced to 5.9% by 2024, which is still the kind of number that makes venture capitalists cry. That $6.7 billion revenue per success looks generous until you remember the other nine drugs that cost $2.6 billion each and produced nothing but expensive urine samples. Patent cliffs? Blockbusters become generics overnight. Public hatred? Martin Shkreli is their poster boy. The math that converts them. New system. How decentralized trials eliminate costs. The main benefit? Pragmatic clinical trials become 44.1 times cheaper. Current system? Pharma spends $41,000 per participant on dedicated trial sites and staff, extensive monitoring and site visits, custom data collection infrastructure, regulatory compliance overhead. A system using your decentralized institutes of health costs drops about 97.7% because uses existing medical practices, no dedicated sites, patient's regular doctor enrolls them, one click, leverages existing electronic health record, or EHR, data, no custom infrastructure, pragmatic design equals minimal monitoring, platform handles regulatory compliance automatically. Result, a 50,000 participant trial drops from about $2 billion at $41,000 per patient to about $46 million at $929 per patient. That's a 97.7% reduction. The current system pays $41,000 per patient for trials, while a decentralized trials framework pays $929 per patient, a 97.7% reduction. In the current system, 90% of drugs fail and billions are lost. But in a decentralized framework, failure costs tens of millions and is survivable. Development takes 10 to 17 years in the current system versus 2 to 3 years in a decentralized framework. Only blockbusters are viable in the current system, while rare diseases become profitable in the new model. The current system carries massive risk, while a decentralized framework offers manageable risk per attempt. A decentralized institutes of health network doesn't change whether drugs work biologically. It changes the economics. You profit from trying, not just from succeeding. Pharma's new business model? Volume over blockbusters. The trade-off? Lower revenue per drug, but massively more attempts. Current model? Chase $1 billion plus blockbusters, can only afford about 10 attempts, each costs $2.6 billion, need huge markets to justify risk, 10,000 compounds sitting on the shelf. The new decentralized model? $500 million per success is profitable. Smaller markets work. Can attempt thousands of compounds. Failure doesn't bankrupt you. Rare diseases become gold mines, no competition. 12.3 times more trial capacity. Not 12.3 times more cures. Biology doesn't scale linearly with funding, unfortunately. 12.3 times more chances to find out what works. How to get them on board? 1. Start with generic manufacturers. There are no R&D costs and immediate margin. 2. Add biotechs. They are desperate for cash and will try anything. 3. Big pharma follows. They can't let competitors have an advantage. 4. The industry transforms. Competition shifts from marketing to outcomes. Politicians, hacking democracy's source code. Politicians are the simplest organisms in this ecosystem, simpler than bacteria. Politicians want exactly two things, votes and money. You're going to give them both. Their current misery. Fundraising. They spend 70% of their time begging for money. Approval rating. It is 18%. Everyone hates them. Actual power. It is near zero. Lobbyists write the bills. Legacy. That guy who renamed a post office. Job security. They are one bad tweet from extinction. Your political welfare program. The money pipeline. For the treaty supporter, super PAC funds flow in. For the treaty opponent, Super PAC funds their opponent. It's not corruption, it's free speech, thanks Citizens United. The vote harvest. 280 million people are voting on Wishocracy. You publish voting records. Senator X opposes cheaper healthcare. Their constituents see this in real time. Support the treaty or face electoral extinction. The bipartisan beauty. This works on everyone. For Republicans, free market solution cuts government spending. For Democrats, universal health care access helps the poor. For libertarians, ends FDA tyranny, personal freedom. For socialists, destroys big pharma monopoly, power to the people. Everyone can claim victory because the framing works for each ideology. Billionaires, self-interest meets self-preservation. Billionaires have everything except the one thing money can't buy, not dying. $1 billion in a body that rots at the same rate as everyone else's? You're offering returns and longevity research. The incentives align naturally. What they really want. Legacy, being remembered. Narcissism is powerful. Returns, beating other billionaires. It's all a game. Survival, not dying of whatever will kill them. Reputation, not being history's villain. Control, shaping the future. Your irresistible package, the investment. Victory incentive alignment bonds offer returns funded by treaty revenue. They beat traditional portfolio yields. The legacy, they can fund the Gates Cancer Center, permanent naming rights. They can fund the Musk Longevity Institute, feed that ego. History books will say they funded the cure for death. A Nobel Peace Prize is possible. They crave validation. The insurance. They're getting old. Mortality is calling. Their genetics aren't special. Death doesn't care about wealth. Every disease cured equals their lifespan extended. They're basically buying protection from biology. The domino effect, how this cascade works. Once you align a few key players, others follow. The sequence. Insurance companies move first. Pure financial logic. Their lobbying convinces politicians. Money talks. Politicians create treaty momentum. Votes follow. Defense contractors hedge. Can't risk being left out. Pharma pivots. Adapt or die. Billionaires pile in. FOMO is powerful. Why this can work? The coordination problem has a price tag. Public choice theory, a branch of economics devoted to explaining why nothing good ever happens, predicts that concentrated interests beat diffuse interests. Always. 10 lobbyists who each make $10 million from war will outfight 10 million patients who each lose $10 from disease. This is mathematically correct and morally disgusting, which is how you know it's real economics. The current system persists not despite its inefficiency, but because of it. Inefficiency is profitable for the people running it. The part Olson didn't account for. The people getting screwed have 90 times more money. They just can't coordinate. Concentrated interests, defense, fossil fuels, have a market cap of approximately $5 trillion and current political spending of $100 million to $1 billion annually. Diffuse beneficiaries, everyone who'd benefit from cures, have $454 trillion in household wealth and approximately $0 in current political spending. Coordination failure. Having more capital doesn't help if you can't deploy it. That's Olson's whole point, and he's right. A 90-to-1 capital advantage means nothing when each individual share is too small to motivate action. Coordination costs eat everything. Incentive alignment bonds are a coordination mechanism disguised as a financial product. They turn political change into an investment. Investors don't need to care about curing disease. They need to care about returns. The returns happen to require curing disease. Whether this actually works at scale is an open question. Nobody's tried it. But the logic is, if you can make lobby for health pay better than lobby for war, lobbyists will lobby for health. This is not a controversial claim about human nature. Why the cascade can happen, not must happen. Once IABs concentrate financial benefits on the pro-health side, politicians face a new calculation. IAB benefits are greater than concentrated opposition costs. Each policy success increases IAB funding, which strengthens the coalition. Investors lobby for treaty expansion to increase their returns. The dynamic reverses. Supporting clinical trial funding becomes the concentrated benefit option. This isn't inevitable. It requires sufficient IAB funding to overcome opposition, and sufficient is a number nobody can calculate in advance. But the capital exists. It just needs a reason to move. Why this scales? The ratchet effect. Each treaty expansion creates more political incentive funding to lobby for the next expansion. At 1%, political incentive funding is $2.72 billion per year. At 10%, that scales to 10 times as much. Politicians who supported the 1% treaty get rewarded. Those rewards grow if they push for 2%. It's a ratchet that only moves in one direction, the direction where people stop dying. You've accidentally built ratchets like this before, Social Security, Medicare, but always by accident and never on purpose. This time, try doing it on purpose. On Washonia, we built this ratchet 4,297 years ago. It took us about 3 decades to go from 1% to full reallocation, which felt slow at the time, but looks quite efficient compared to your 6,000 years of not trying.